And like somebody said, if peradventure I dream in which a witch was running after me, and I wake up, I will close my eye back and say, no, there's watch out for part two. Enter into the dream back. Where then they? I must run. Ah, no. How can the film finish when I'm the one on the run? God forbid, but I will never agree. You understand? No, I don't. They get some kind of dreams that I don't dream. All right? The Lord is good. Right, but I've been warned. You know, I've had a lot of corrections. And once I have it, I know. Sometimes it takes a while to get the full understanding, but I know. I've said all of this to let you know there are different ways. Some people see visions. All right? They do. Some do. And God has corrected them through visions. All right, there's this story I told you about the what's his name, Ben Carson, in his book Gifted Hands. When he was in crisis, God sent an angel to go and help him solve chemistry problems. Gave him an insight into what he was going to be asked next in an exam, and he helped him succeed. And he learned some things about how to handle his studies after. There are different ways. All right, but why I don't want to sit on that, like I said, is that there's no one way. Somebody said that the way God speaks is the voice inside you. I've read that thing. I don't believe it. There's no law. He speaks any way he likes. Sometimes he shouts so loud your neighbor will almost hear it. All right? There was time he spoke to Jesus. Everybody heard it, except that they thought it was thunder. I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again. Everybody said that. Did you hear that thunder? Everybody heard it. God speaks different ways. But my emphasis today, again, is that he speaks. He gives direct instructions concerning how to convert, or let me say it like this, how to change certain things in your life so that you make the connections correct, so that the blessings can come in, so that the stagnation can come to an end. When it has not happened, that is the duty of a believer. That is what fasting is about. Fasting is not a hunger thing. It's a concentration matter. You must know what you are going for. We seek the face of God. That's what we mean by seeking his face. We want to understand. And that's why, and I said, I want to be practical. That's why you need to take time out. All right? Away from your busy schedule. You walk in a place, take a leave. Take a leave. You have wife and children who make a lot of noise, like mine. This morning, you know, I woke up at night to do some things. We were supposed to send messages somewhere. I thought I would sleep well into the morning. Imagine I didn't go to school today. But they wake up very early. I don't hear koko for door. Daddy, daddy. No, it was mommy. No, like, mommy. Oh my God. If they are not on holiday and you want to take time out to seek the face of God, you can't stay in that house. You can't. Because when the Holy Spirit wants to tell you something, daddy, I can't push me. That's the end. You start settling quarrel. You can't concentrate anymore. Some people think they are still fasting because they are hungry. When your children, you are setting their quarrel, the fasting ended. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's the end of the fast. How can you be selling children's quarrel and tell me because you are hungry, you are fasting? You are starving. You are watching your weight. I agree with that. But that you are fasting Christian fast, lie. You take time out. The issue is that you have to be quiet. It doesn't have to be, there are those who lock themselves for 24 hours, no. But it can just be a few hours a day. Do you follow my point? But that, during that period, your focus, it's not the time you watch news. See? They'll call you and say, oh boy, Arsenal don't score. You say, are you serious? Now they watch how they come. It's not the kind of time. You understand my point? Arsenal score? No, is it Kenya that scored? Nigeria scored. It doesn't concern you at such times. Quietness is important. Not just physical quietness, mental quietness. Stop calculating the money you are owing people at such times. How come they have not yet supplied the things you ordered in last week? That's not the time you do such things. And one of the things I have learned from experience and from observing life is that, listen, it is difficult to, people say you just blank out your mind. Listen, I don't tell you lies. Amen? When I'm preaching, I say things that I believe. You say, blank out your mind. I don't know whether it's possible. Don't let me say, I don't believe it's possible. I don't know whether it is possible. I can't do it. Maybe you can. Blank out your mind. I don't know how people do it. Just blank out your mind. You know, you pray in tongues until your mind is blank. Well, let me say things are bad. But for me, it doesn't work. I don't know how to blank out my mind. And I have a general principle that says it's hard, if not impossible. Nature abhors a vacuum. I don't believe you can blank out your mind. That's my own. So you want to concentrate on the Lord, so you close your eyes. You see, once you open your eyes, you see around. Once you close your eyes, then the things you kept in your mind before, those of us say, hey, thank you for concentrating on us now. What am I going to explain? The only way I know you can clear your mind is to fill it with something else. That's what I'm going to. That's the only way I am aware of that you can clear your mind. It's not just to clear it entirely. You have to fill it with something else. And the first thing, this is my own experience as a believer, that you fill your mind with, all right, is, let me put it like this, is just the word of God. You want to take time out to, you know, we're talking about fasting now, to turn your eyes to look. You want to turn to hear the word of God. You want to hear the rhema from heaven. You want to seek the face of God. This is I told you I wanted to talk about practical things. This is what I recommend. First, you fill your head with the word of God. Fill your eyes with the word of God. What do I mean by the word of God? See, anything at all, this is where I see it. You want to pray about business, and maybe that's where the issue is, stagnation in business. You don't go there and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, business, business. No. Take a book. It's talking on second coming. Lie down there, cross your leg, and start reading about the second coming of Christ. It's the word of God. There is a book that talks about the praise of God, how to praise God. If I take the book and start reading it. That's what I'm talking about. Take your mind away from your troubles initially. Focus your mind. Say, as they ministered to God and fasted, focus on God. How do you focus on Him? Listen, you say, you just sit down there and be thinking, oh God, listen. You will say the oh God, after a while, you get tired. One of the ways I know by which you can say, oh God, and not get tired is in songs. Yes, that's why God invented songs for us. You can say the same thing 50 times and it does not get boring. If I tell you, everybody repeat, our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever. I never. After I say like five times, I say, Pastor, that bad. Say something else now. But if we start singing, ah, God is an awesome God, He reigns. You know, you can sing that song for an hour. You don't get tired. I recommend that also. These are the ways by which you clear your mind. Songs that talk about the Lord, that emphasize the power of God, songs that talk about the doctrines of God, the word of God, the face of Jesus Christ, songs that do things like that, songs of praise, songs that magnify God. You don't know them? Put them somewhere. Let somebody play it. That is like a music recorder. And sing along. That's what clears your mind. Because it fills your mind. All right? You are thinking on those things. Initially, forget entirely what your troubles are. I read them, John G. Lake. There are sometimes people, that is, they are praying so much about their troubles. All they are doing, they are holding on to it. Do you get my point? They pray so much about it. What they have done effectively is to just hold on to the trouble. So God said, release it. Now, I have to pray about it. Okay. Release this thing. No, I'm praying about it. These problems have lasted too long. In the name of Jesus, all these problems, you will go away. God said, release this thing. No, I have to pray about it. Okay. Because the fellow is focused on it all the time. And that's what I'm talking about. That is, take your mind away from it. Sometimes you solve problems by magnifying God. That is, you have not, if it's happened to me before, something becomes like a worry. So I want to pray about it. Because one of the things I learned long ago is that when I want to pray, first thing is I do what the Bible calls confession. Now, let me explain what I mean by confession. There are two sides of confession there. There's confession of sin. And sin, like I know I tried to emphasize it, sin is not always what you think it is. All right? Sin is, you just confess your shortcomings. Ignorance can be sin. You know that? Yes, it is. So the first thing I do, what I know is I first tell God everything I know and tell the Lord, this is all I know. Do you understand? Like maybe, let me just give an example now about maybe you're having children and you don't know, they keep on tripling school fees every other week and your salary is not tripling at that same rate. And you know these children are going to grow to a time now you have to start paying university fees. And it becomes an issue. So you want to pray about it. This is what I'm saying. I first go and say, Lord, you know, I know you said take no thought for the morrow. You know, because after these things the Gentiles seek, that indeed you are the supplier, you are the provider. All right? that even though, you know, a lot of times when I finish doing like that, the problems have come to an end. That is, I've so magnified the truth of God that I realize there's no problem. Because why the problem looked big initially was that we're focused on the problems and magnifying the problems. So when we start by magnifying God, suddenly the problems disappear. Sometimes it doesn't disappear like that. You've told God everything you know. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. What does that mean? I know, I have knowledge up to a particular level, but that knowledge is not enough to solve the problems. So what I recommend, I first tell God everything I know. I said, but that's all I know. I don't know how to go beyond that point into the solution to this problem. What am I saying? So I'm talking about the praises of God. So sometimes all you just start talking about how great God is as much as you are aware. All right? Not focusing on the problem now, but just, God, I thank you because you are good. You are loving. I thank you because I've been forgiven. Sometimes, you know, people, you know what's disturbing them? Guilt. What did I call it? Guilt. They're having problems. They see things, something they did wrong like 7 years ago. God has not forgotten. That you know, but if you start praying and you start saying, Father, I thank you because you are a loving God. I thank you because I confessed my sins and you are faithful and just to forgive and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Sometimes by saying that, by giving God thanks for that, peace comes into your heart. You realize that that cannot be the cause of my problems. Look, that's the fast of a Christian I'm describing. So I blank my mind. I don't know how people do it. But no, I fill my mind with other things. I fill my mind with songs of praise. That's very, very crucial, all right? Other things I fill my mind with, like I was saying earlier. Okay, I mentioned it earlier. Let me just go back to it. For me, very practical. I want to wait on God. It's not here. Now closing eyes. I say, God, speak, speak, speak. You can't force him to say anything. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So I have found that the easiest way to prevent distraction, I take an interesting material and I start studying. If you have it, it's good to have your Bible and read it. But I think it's a very good aid to get a book of somebody you enjoy reading. Now, this is my own practical one also. Some people say, I've read this book. You know me, I don't have a book that I have read. No, I don't have. I only have books I'm reading. A book, like if I need to make progress, for example, in ministry matters, one of the materials I just get and start reading again is I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin. Those things, no, listen, you know, when you focus your mind on, you understand, decides what God can communicate with you a lot of times. What I mean is this. If I take a book like I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin, do you know that just reading I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking about the experiences he had with God. But that opens my heart to be able to receive divine ideas. Because when I'm reading about Kenneth Hagin's visitation from God, that the Lord sent appeared to him, angels appeared to him, divine manifestations he had. Listen, your heart is automatically connected with the spiritual realm. That's my experience. I take a book like Adventures in God by John G. Lake. So a book like Adventures in God, they're just stories, short stories. But you know, they boost your faith to expect divine, that supernatural manifestations in your life. They do. For me, those are practical things about Christian fast I'm telling you about. A man that has been a tremendous blessing to me, if I have to think about ministry matters, is Kennedy Hagin. He has blessed me more in the area of ministry than he blessed me in teaching faith. He taught me faith, so I learned a lot about faith from him. But where he blessed me most in the area of ministry, people who taught me faith most are people like David Oyedepo, you understand, John G. Lake, number one. G-Lake, Habba. You know, I just take a G-Lake book, just read a chapter, like The Law of the Spirit of Life. That was the inspiration for that book I wrote, titled The Law of Life. And these are books I've read again and again and again. Listen, let me tell you, you want to know how you should tithe your money now? Better be tithing to a bookshop. And that is crucial. If you have never tithed to a bookshop, you're a sinner. Is it because you have not smoked? You have committed worse sins than the smoking man. And I told some people, they just say, I don't smoke, I don't drink. I wish you drank beer, but you went to a bookshop. This one that you don't drink beer, you still don't go to a bookshop. Your life can never be straight. A man that drinks and smokes but goes to a bookshop has a better future than the one that neither drinks nor smokes but does not go near a bookshop. You're walking in ignorance and saying, I don't smoke. I'm not saying you go and buy cigarettes. I'm just trying to say that you are committing, you see, your self-righteousness has not helped you. That's the point I'm making. The sins you are committing that are going to injure you, they are more than the ones you are not committing that you are proud of. Are you getting my point? You know, they are crazy. They buy a recharge card. They do. Even if it's 400 naira a week, they do. But which book did you buy in recent times? You are waiting for me to hand you magazine free of charge and tracts free of charge. And the person feels very self-righteous because he comes to church on time and he sweeps church and he does not smoke. Now, one sin I've told you is worse than smoking and drinking now is ignorance. If you are not the reader, you are a worse sinner than a Christian who's, you know, there are Christians who smoke. You know, let me just say, by the way, you know, an unbeliever is an unbeliever. He's a sinner all the time. When he's giving out offering, it's iniquity. You didn't hear what I said? If he's giving money to a beggar, he's committing sin. If he's planning for his future, he's sinning against God. If he's crossing the road, it's a problem. It is sin. Because the greatest sin is that they offered you Jesus Christ and you rejected him. Go and read the scriptures. He came unto his own and his own did not receive him. That was their sin. Please don't ever forget that. Some people will tell you that, you see, doing good works. With all these bags of rice, they are carving out a big portion of hellfire for him. Because he's an unbeliever. So, when I'm talking about sin or no sin now, I'm talking to Christians, amen? I am telling you, let me say it again in case you want to hear it. A Christian that does not read, does not spend his money buying books so as to consume the word of God, that does not pay attention to it, is committing worse sin than the Christian who smokes cigarettes. He will fall sick faster before that one gets lung cancer. Eventually, he'll get his lung cancer. I hope you know that. He will get it. It's defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, yeah, I mean, anything God gives you, it's your responsibility to keep. I understand my point. It's your responsibility to keep. He gave Adam the garden, said, guard it and keep it. So you don't treat your body anyhow. You don't eat anyhow things. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's your duty. God gave you that, but you keep it well. So it is wrong of you, all right, to be putting, you know what I'm saying? Cigarette smoke inside it, you are defiling it. But I'm trying to put things in proper perspective. Ignorance is a worse crime for a believer. Have you ever read, my people perish for cigarette smoking? But my people perish, they are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. You listen, we must know what is sin. Are you getting my point? And stop hanging around the church, you know, our traditional, you know, those days my wife used to think that if you tell me something, if I report you, I sinned. But reporting you is a sin. She thought that Joseph was sinning by reporting on his brothers. I said, who told you that? I quoted two scriptures for her to show that reporting somebody is the will of God. Should I tell you? Let me not waste your time. But anyway, I'll give you one. Because if anybody comes secretly to entice you to go and serve another God, he said, you go and report him. Say, come and see what he told me to do. Then the people will gather and stone him. Paul said, I heard of the house of Chloe that there are divisions amongst you. It was proper for the house of Chloe to go and report. These brethren, they are divided. I'm not going to explain something here. Ignorance is a sin. Amen? If you ever thought in your life that certain things were sins, add this one above them. When God was going to describe those who were going into the lake of fire, number one was the unbelieving and the fearful. Before I started adding all the other sinners after it. The fearful, the unbelieving, they were first. What am I saying? Christians can't afford to walk in ignorance. Let me get back to my practical tips I was telling you. This is the point I'm making. That one of the things you do, you take your material and start filling your heart with it. Listen, you know, there's something that happened a lot of times. many times. I can't count the number of times it happened. Somebody will come to Kingdom World Ministries and say they want to see me. And you know my rule. If I don't know you, I don't see you. You know if I know you, I don't mean whether I've seen your face before. I mean like, I must understand and realize and be convinced and persuaded. I hope those four words are enough to explain what I'm trying to say. That you have been listening to me. It's crucial. It's crucial. So a lot of people come and say, I want to, I say, when he starts talking, I said, hey, wait, have you read the book, Acquire Life? He said, no, sir. I said, go and read it. When you have finished reading it, come back, we talk. Do you know, let me say, 4 times out of 5, minimum, maybe more than that, the people will come back and say, I don't need to talk to you again. I said, let me talk to you a few minutes. I said, have you read this book? He said, no, go and read it. Especially that one, Acquire Life. When people come and start telling me about ancestral curses, generational curses, what are you talking about? Obviously, you have never listened to me. Go and read the book, Acquire Life. Most of the times, in fact, there was one brother, after I finished reading it, he started buying it for people. Go and meet some of his friends. Oh boy, how that your problem? He said, I don't get one medicine. One Ogbonge medicine, you pull it out. Take, read. Those ones will get solutions inside the book. Just describing what God did for them in Christ Jesus. You want to set aside to look, all right? Take a book and fill your heart with it. Sometimes just stories of God's deliverance. I mean, you know, one of the things that helped me as a young believer those days and helped me till today, that is a foundation of faith, is reading books of stories like Bilkis Sheikh, I Dare to Call Him Father, like The Gentle Breeze of Jesus, Mel Tari. These are just storybooks. Stories of experiences they had. And listen, in fact, God Smuggler. Just simple stories of experiences people had with God. And those things built my faith, I won't lie to you, more than reading Kenneth Hagin's 7 Steps to Building a Strong Faith. I'm not like, no, you know, I respect Kenneth Hagin, you know, you always get what I'm saying, you know, in perspective. When I said Kenneth Hagin, those books blessed me. I read those books. I bought them. But do you know, when it comes to faith, I probably was more encouraged in some of those storybooks than I was from reading books, 7 Steps to Building a Strong Faith, How to Train the Human Spirit. Those books were good. Believe me, they blessed me. But just reading a simple book like The Happiest People on Earth will teach you about God's plan for your life without the man teaching about God's plan for your life. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? One of the practical things I've emphasized today is, look, it's not just go there, blank your mind. You take the time out. Yes, maybe you're talking about stagnation in business. But first of all, fill your heart with truth. And then, please, let me encourage you. I've finished with that. When you begin to pray, let me encourage you. Avoid speaking big English. Don't draw your breath when you want to talk to God. You know what I'm saying? Like, God! It's not necessary. What did I say? Now only you did, dear. What's all of this? How will you want to talk to your husband or to your wife? So yeah, sit down. The problem, sir, in this house. Your wife will look and call one of your friends. I think there's a problem here. Just tell God simply. You know, we do the shake head. Maybe many of us grew up in CAC. You know, they call CAC Christ Above the Church. Just we're talking about fasting now, all right? Drop that one. Don't speak any. It's simple. Say, Lord, after you have spent time, if you're going to spend this, you can spend the worst day or two just playing and singing songs of praise, listening to messages, you understand? Messages, you're just listening to messages. I didn't mention that. You're just listening to messages. You are reading the book. And when you want to bring up the matter, you say, yes, I wanted to get direction. In fact, let me just say this to you before I say that. Take my word for it. 8 times out of 10, minimum, by the time you are through with just praising God and studying, you will have your answers, you will leave the place. That is, you will not have even had the opportunity to get to the point of praying about your problems. You just know what to do. Well, peradventure, by that time, you don't have the answer yet. You now want to start facing it. Talk straight. Tell your neighbor, talk straight. Speak your usual language. Don't go and speak the English that you heard somebody on TV speak. You must know that when we are praying publicly, there's a small proportion that is show. It's not evil. It's just part of it. If you are going to pray for the whole world to hear, you will not blow bad English. You understand my point? Because you're not only praying to God, you are praying to the hearing of your brethren. So those ones you copy on TV is a different matter. Those men don't pray like that inside their homes. When you reach that place, say, hey, God, see, if you don't do anything, you know this company is going bankrupt. Bankruptcy is not good, though. It's not good. If this money doesn't flow, waiting children go chop, wife must work. You know, church, the other day now we went to church. Pastor was saying that we have to preach the gospel, you know, with finances. Is it broke people that preach with finances? Serious talk now. Nothing like, God, we shall not be broke. No, go, listen, that's for the devil. You understand what I'm saying? When it is God, it's serious talk. Last year, this is the total profit sales we made. This is a profit on it. This is the amount of salary we are paying. This is not good now. Why should I be paying this amount of money? We can pay better than this. This year, this is not increasing. The Bible says that the path of the just like the light of the grows shine. My own, the path of this guy is not shining bright out. Because look at sales. It has dropped. Or it went up, but cost went up. Lord, there must be a wisdom to bring this thing out of this situation. And that's what I'm asking you for. It's that simple. It's that simple. Listen, I pray that Christians will learn to pray properly. Honestly. I pray for you that you will know how to pray. Are you getting my point? Not to act. A lot of Pentecostal prayer is acting. We act in church. We act at home. We act when we're alone. And some people never say, look, I can never say I'm sick. How are you? It is well. When you lie down to pray again, Lord, I want to thank you because today it is well. Ah, God, it is well. I say, are you sure? It's well, no. It's well. I'm not going to talk. They say, God, I won't lie to you. That place is paining me badly. How far? Say, no, really, really. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you understand my point? Yes, because it's just between you and God. Like one thing, one man said once when I was preaching somewhere, he said, it's all right to cry. He said, who you cry to is what makes the difference. He said, if you cry to God, that is fine. He said, if you cry to God, it is fine. I'm trying to explain something to people. It's one of the things, in fact, my wife will tell you that, he said, you should laugh at me, that this man, you pray very fun. I can be praying with her about something now. Then I'll pause and explain something to the person I'm praying with. I don't know where I get the point. I'm praying about an issue. Along the line, I just say, wait, let me just explain that. I'll explain and explain and explain and explain. Spend like 5 minutes explaining and clarifying something. Then I go back to her, Lord. So what I was saying is that, after a while, I said, no. You see, the reason why I'm saying, you know, the other day I was telling this person, this is precisely what I was saying. Then I go back to my prayer. I said, this guy, you pray funny. There's no acting in it. And I'm telling you, the fasting of a believer, these are the kinds we are talking about. You are alone. If you are married, you can take time out with your spouse, sit down together, and you start discussing. For me, again, I tell you, I'm being practical. I remember the last house where I was staying before we moved out. Something happened here and there. One day I told my wife, if I reminded her of that a few days ago, that was God that actually moved us out of that place. Initially, I wanted to leave. I was offended. I was angry. You understand? But I said, no, you cannot live like that. So I settled down and prayed. So that day, I just went, well, let's pray about this matter. And I remember I said, Lord, this is the issue. I'm willing to swallow my pride. I know I'm very angry with this man, our landlord then. I'm very angry because he did like this. I said, but what's the big deal? If you want me to, I will call him. I will say sorry. I will pay any money he wants, and I will stay here. My wife can tell. That's how I prayed that prayer that day, simply. By the time we finished, events showed that, no, God said it's okay. You can leave. I don't have time now, all right? We're going to what I discussed it before, the confession of sin, all right? Is a crucial part of your meditation process. It's crucial. It is crucial. confession of sin. You must be very, very sincere. You know, look, maybe let's take business technicians as an example. Say, God, you know, when we started this business, those things we used to say, they are not true. I'm telling you, you say it like that. Once you say it like that, you are forgiven. Once you say it, say, Lord, you know, we used to say like this, those things are not true. A Christian shouldn't talk like that. It's called confession. You're already confessing. You are confessing. Huh? My God, I used to refuse to take my calls when I'm owing people. That's not good, though. Do you know the serious? That's serious prayer. I think I told you, I mean it. Christians act too much even when they are praying. They do. Lord, this business, in the name of Jesus, it will do well. It will do well. Stop shouting when you are alone. What's your problem? When you shout so much, you don't hear. I'm serious about it. You know, I said, maybe you don't like to shout. I think it's out of order for anybody to shout. You shouted that shout for the last 6 months. Nothing has changed. Come here and zip your mouth, you know. Just be quiet. Start identifying what you possibly could have done wrong. Because, you see, I told you the other day that God taps people. You know, I explained it. It calls people's attention. Many people's problems in life are caused by the fact that they have refused to take the little corrections. Over the last few days, my wife and I were analyzing something. It's one of our friends had some issues in ministry matter. I said, no, I have to try and talk to this man. Because you can't be doing like this and then expect ministry to grow. I said, it doesn't work. And you pray from that tomorrow until correction comes to you. Until correction comes to you, you are not leaving that spot. They are not part. A lot of times you think you are justified. And the person we're talking about, he felt so, look, that is, if you see his righteous feeling on this matter. You know something, those things get to me. What I mean is that, I'm not saying, you know you feel very righteous on some matters like this too. I now go home and pray the prayer of Elihu. Said, that which I see not, teach thou me. There are many things you are doing, you think you are righteous. Let me tell you something. Anytime you think you are doing something rightly and it's not going anywhere, you need time out. What did I say? Anytime you think you are doing something rightly, but it's not going anywhere, you need time out. You need to take time out and go and pray sincerely. Say, Lord, I thought I knew how to do it. But this is not the kind of progress I expected that will be made when I'm doing things like this. What is the problem? You'll be amazed that of the 10 things you knew, 8 were wrong. I believe there are pastors in Nigeria that should close church. You know what I mean? They just close. Say, we are not doing church again. Brethren, praise the Lord. Today is the last service of this ministry. I have arranged with some of my friends to accept those of you who want to go from here with recommendation letters. So, Pastor, what are you doing after? Don't worry. Just know that ministry is closing today. Today, back I said, one day the Lord instructed me to close all the branches. All branches, told the pastors. If you can stay on your own, stay. If you can't, close the door, come back home. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. What is the summary of what I've said today is simple. God still gives direction. Let me put it like that. That's the best way to put it. God still gives what? Direction. Specific direction. He can tell you which business to start doing, which one to stop. He'll tell you which relationship to put an end to, and which one to start. He does that. He does that. He tells you how to run your ministry, how to live your life, how to spend your money. He does that. Many of those things are not recorded directly for your situation in the scriptures, but they are based upon the word of God. You need to take time out. That's what fasting is for believers. It is the time that we concentrate because of something that is heavy on our heart. Something that is nothing heavy. You just know that you should periodically refire. Are you getting my point? Very crucial for believers. Periodically, we must take time out to refire. You don't wait to break down first. It's not a nice thing that God must always knock your head, give you a depressed skull fracture, and then heal you after. Do you understand my point? It's not always. So if you know, I mean, with understanding as a believer, periodically you take time out. Whether there is any problem or there is none, you take time out just the way we have said in the fasting of a believer. What are we doing? We are seeking the face of God. We want understanding. We want direction. I hope you've gotten my point. Our Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We know that you are eager You know, Kenneth Hagin told that story in that book. Anytime he would look in the direction of that angel, he opened his mouth, he wants to start talking. But because we have not been paying attention, we have not been able to hear. Lord, we know you are eager to speak to us. We ask you for the spirit of wisdom, for the spirit of understanding that will help us know what to do and how to take time out and go into a true Christian fasting. Thank you for the word that has come forth. Let this word not stand against us, but let it be a blessing in our walk with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak concerning the rest of your week, that goodness will dwell therein in the name of Jesus Christ. That God's favor will manifest for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Doors that were closed before, you thought they were closed. You will go there, push them, and discover that they were just shut slightly. Just needed to exert a bit of pressure. And you will discover that blessings are hidden for you behind that door. And that door will open for you this week in the name of Jesus Christ. News of discouragement will be turned to news of good news for you in the name of Jesus Christ. God will give you understanding in what you are supposed to do beginning from now in the name of Jesus Christ. Favor is